that tomorrow. Now, we hope that you'll have a very fruitful and exciting discussion about the prophecies which we have just shared with you today.
But remember, the best is yet to come. The more you hear about Baha'u'llah and the Baha'i faith, the happier you will be that you are a Baha'i. We'll be with you all tomorrow.
Begin the second day of our study class on the coming of Baha'u'llah, the promise of all ages. Mr. Sears now continues with the promise which Jesus gave to his disciples in answer to their question asking when he, Christ, would return to earth.
Sometime after the crucifixion of Christ, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman Titus. Later, the city was totally destroyed. It was plowed under and renamed. The Jews were banished. Many of them suffered exactly as Christ had foretold. They fell by the edge of the sword, they fled, they were scattered, and they were led away captive. When was the time of the Gentiles fulfilled? Let us see. After the Romans, the Muslims conquered Jerusalem. The holy city was made forbidden territory for the Jews. Until what time, do you think? Until the year 1844, the year of the beginning of the Baha'i faith. Isn't that exciting?
In 1844, a document called the Edict of Toleration was signed. This Edict of Toleration is also mentioned by Worth Smith in his book Miracle of the Ages. He points out, in the year A.D. 1844, the Muslims, under the leadership of Turkey, were compelled by the Western powers, notably England, to grant religious toleration to all nations within their borders.
Imagine that.
This document, called the Edict of Toleration, was signed March 21st, 1844.
Mm-hmm.
It permitted the Jews to return to their homeland for the first time in some 12 centuries. You can read about it in history.
The Christian scholar George Townsend, sometime canon of St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin, Ireland, said that this prophecy about the times of the Gentiles was definitely fulfilled by the year 1844 and this Edict of Toleration. Mr. Townsend became a follower of Baha'u'llah. He was one of the Baha'i faith's most illustrious scholars and teachers and writers. Of course, I'm giving you only a few of these marvelous prophecies. You know that. But perhaps they're more than enough to inspire those you're teaching to feel in their hearts that this is what they've been waiting for all of their lives. The more they hear, the more confident they will become that this is the truth, and that Baha'u'llah is indeed the return of Christ, the promised one. Now, let's get on with that second promise of Christ, which concerns the time of the Gentiles. This time, it's from the book of Revelation, a book that speaks constantly about the return of Christ. Christ's return, in fact, is a major theme of the whole book. Revelation also speaks about the times of the Gentiles and tells us when the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. Listen, prophecy.
Revelation chapter 11, verse 2. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 40 and 2 months.
40 and 2 months is 3.5 years, or 1,260 days. In those days, you know, they used the lunar calendar, and the year was 360 days, not 365. So 40 and 2 months makes 1,260 days. The Christian Bible scholars who were studying about the return of Christ in those days agreed that in Bible prophecy, a day is taken to mean a year. Thus, these Bible scholars took 1,260 days to be 1,260 years. At the end of that time, at the end of 1,260 years, the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. So says the book of Revelation. These are Christian Bible scholars, mind you, not Baha'is. You will find their reasons for using a day as a year in prophecy in the Bible. You can find it in the book of Numbers, 14th chapter, verse 34, and again in Ezekiel, 4th chapter, 6th verse, and so on. We won't go into the details here. You can study that for yourself. In that same chapter of Numbers mentioned above, verse 21, the Lord says,
But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.
And that, of course, we know is the meaning of Baha'u'llah's name when translated into English, the glory of the Lord, or the glory of God. After the Romans conquered Jerusalem, the Muslims were the next to conquer it. And as George Townsend points out in his introduction to God Passes By, I'm quoting now, the strict exclusion of the Jews from their own land, enforced by the Muslims for some 12 centuries, was at last relaxed by the Edict of Toleration, and the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled. This edict was signed in 1844. That was the year of the beginning of the Baha'i faith. And do you know what? The year 1260 of the Muslim calendar is identical with the year 1844 of the Christian calendar. Think of that. And so thus the times of the Gentiles was ended, and the second promise of Christ was fulfilled with the exactness of the stars in 1844.
The hour of Christ's return was the year 1844, the year that the Baha'i faith, the wonderful faith of Baha'u'llah, began in the world.
So already we see that two of the promises which Christ himself gave to his disciples were fulfilled in a beautiful and marvelous way by the year 1844. No wonder people in all parts of the world are eager to become Baha'is and followers of Baha'u'llah.
That brings us to the third promise of Christ.
Yes. What about the third promise of Christ? We find this promise in the book of Matthew. When Christ's disciples asked him, "What shall be the sign of thy coming?" Jesus told them this, and this is Christ's third clear promise. Prophecy.
Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand.
Daniel, in chapters 8 through 12, deals with both the first and the second coming of Christ. You can read about this in detail in a book mentioned before called Some Answered Questions. You'll find it on pages 35 through 42. It's a wonderful book. Many more things in there, too. The book contains the words of the son of Baha'u'llah, Abdu'l-Bahá. Here, we'll mention only one of these prophecies. Prophecy.
Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed.
These things, Daniel said, would take place at the time of the end. Daniel described it as a time of times and half a time, or in the language of prophecy, 3.5 years. A time is a year, a times 2 years, and half a time half a year, or 3.5 years. And what does that make? It makes 40 in 2 months, or 1260 days again. Daniel in chapter 8 is prophesying that 2,300 years shall pass before the sanctuary shall be cleansed. Following this time, all things will be made pure again. Before this time, the people would have fallen into a state of abomination, without love for God or man, and they would be troublemakers, haters of their fellow men, all of the things we see in the world today. But after 2,300 years, the sanctuary would be cleansed, and the hopes of men would be restored once again. Daniel links Christ and Baha'u'llah together in these remarkable prophecies. That's why the Bible scholars use these chapters not only to determine Christ's first coming, the time of his first coming, but also the time when Christ would return to the earth. Daniel said that from the issuing of the decree to rebuild Jerusalem until the cutting off of the Messiah, or the crucifixion of Christ, there are appointed 490 days, or 490 years in prophecy. Both the cutting off of the Messiah, the death of Christ, and the end of the abomination of desolation begin with that same decree to rebuild Jerusalem. Scholars determine that this was the decree of the Emperor Artaxerxes issued in the year 457. And where was Artaxerxes from? From Persia. Where did Daniel have his vision? In Shushan, capital of Elam in ancient Persia. When did Daniel say all of this would take place? At the time of the end, a time which showed in his prophecies to be 1844, the year of the birth of the Baha'i faith. Now, just listen to this. This is a Christian Bible scholar speaking. E.P. Kakamai, in a new edition of H.G. Guinness's book, Light for the Last Days, a book about prophecy, He quotes Guinness as saying the following about Daniel's prophecy.
From the first day of the Jewish month of Nisan in the year 457,
that's the year of Artaxerxes' decree, 457 B.C.,
until the first day of the month of Nisan in the year 1844,
or the year of the birth of the Baha'i Faith, 1844,
there are exactly 2,300 years that have passed.
Abdu'l-Bahá, in some answered questions, pages 40-41, explains these decrees of Artaxerxes in more detail. He also shows in yet another way how this prophecy of Daniel comes to the year 1844. Imagine that. So thus the third promise which Christ gave to his followers was also fulfilled by the year 1844, the year of the birth of the Baha'i Faith. Three important promises of Christ himself announcing the day of his return to earth.
First promise, the gospel would be preached everywhere.
Fulfilled by 1844.
Second promise, the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled.
Also in 1844.
Third promise, the words of Daniel about the cleansing of the sanctuary.
Also fulfilled in 1844, the year of the birth of the Baha'i Faith. Is it any wonder that the Baha'is say to their Christian friends, "What are you waiting for? Christ himself told you when he would return. Christ has himself proved to you that Baha'u'llah is the true one. He said that his sheep would recognize his voice in that day. Are you listening? Christ has given you three clear-cut promises telling you exactly when he would return. Each one of them brings you to Baha'u'llah, to the Baha'i Faith, and to the year 1844. So what are you waiting for? Open your hearts and your spiritual eyes and ears. In the words of Christ himself, whoso readeth, let him understand." Listen again. Repeat.
The gospel of Christ had been preached everywhere in the world for a witness.
That's the first promise of Christ fulfilled. When? 1844. And Christ said, "I shall return."
The times of the Gentiles had been fulfilled.
The second promise of Christ fulfilled. When? The year 1844. And at that time Christ said, "I shall return."
The prophecy of Daniel about the abomination of desolation had been fulfilled.
The third promise of Christ fulfilled, his own three promises, the last. When? In the year 1844. At that time Christ said, "I shall return." Baha'u'llah's declaration to the world that he was the promised one was made in the valley of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, near to the site of the river Chebar, the place where the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel saw his vision of the glory of God. In that valley, Baha'u'llah wrote his book of certitude. This book, Baha'u'llah said, broke the seals of the book referred to by Daniel. This book disclosed the meaning of those words of Scripture, which were destined by Daniel to remain closed up until the time of the end. The time of the end had come. Is it any wonder that thousands all over the earth are hurrying in these days to embrace the truth of Baha'u'llah's faith and become Baha'is? What a dramatic story! The three promises of Christ himself have all been fulfilled. One, two, three, all fulfilled with the exactness of the stars. And when? In the same year, 1844, the year of the coming of the Baha'i Faith, the faith of Baha'u'llah. At that time, Christ said,
he would return in the glory of the Father.
Well, isn't it long past time for all of us to go around the world and tell the world about Baha'u'llah's coming, to tell them that Christ has returned? Jesus said in that same 24th chapter of Matthew, in referring to Daniel's prophecy, that it would take spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear and understand the truth. Didn't he? Christ said, and these are his words again,
"Whoso readeth, let him understand."
It would take a pure heart, someone searching for the truth, to understand and accept. Let us now turn to the Gospel of John. Prophecy.
John, chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me.
Baha'u'llah did just that. He wrote often of Christ, lovingly, tenderly, movingly. Baha'u'llah told the Christians that he, Baha'u'llah, was that Comforter. Listen to just a few words which Baha'u'llah has written about Christ. Remember, Baha'u'llah was exiled like Abraham. He was stoned like Moses. He was scourged like Christ. He was weighted down with 100-pound chains. He was driven from city to city and persecuted almost all the adult years of his life for nearly half a century. Baha'u'llah was 2 times stoned, 3 times imprisoned, and 4 times exiled. He suffered dreadful persecutions in 4 countries, in 2 continents. Imagine that. Baha'u'llah wrote, "If ye have resolved to shed the blood of him whose coming Jesus Christ himself hath announced, behold me standing ready and defenseless before you. Deal with me after your own desires." In another place, Baha'u'llah wrote, "If ye be intent on crucifying once again Jesus, the Spirit of God, put me to death, for he hath once more in my person been made manifest unto you. Deal with me as ye wish, for I have vowed to lay down my life in the path of God." Prophecy.
John chapter 16, verses 7 and 13. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you."
Baha'u'llah wrote to the leaders of Christianity and told them that he was that Comforter promised by Christ. Baha'u'llah offered them all of the proofs they required. Baha'u'llah wrote, "O Pope in Rome, O concourse of patriarchs, O concourse of archbishops, O concourse of bishops, O concourse of priests, O people of the gospel, O people of Christianity." He wrote to them all. Baha'u'llah left no one out from the whole world of Christianity. To those religious leaders, Baha'u'llah said, "Ye are the stars of the heaven of my knowledge. My mercy desireth not that ye should fall upon the earth." That's another prophecy too, isn't it? I mean about the stars falling in the last days. Baha'u'llah told them all that he was the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. He urged them to open their eyes and their hearts to the truth. Prophecy.
John 16th chapter, verse 13. "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak."
Baha'u'llah spoke with the voice of God, as Jesus had spoken of old. Baha'u'llah wrote over 100 volumes on all aspects of life. He gave answers to the critical problems facing humanity. Baha'u'llah did indeed guide men to all truth. And Baha'u'llah spoke as Christ said he would speak, as bidden by the Almighty. Baha'u'llah told us that this message was greater than himself, that it came from God. Baha'u'llah addressed the leaders of humanity and urged them to put into effect these teachings and the laws of God for the protection, the welfare, and the betterment of all mankind. Baha'u'llah rebuked the Christians for their neglect. He said, "Heard ye not the words of Jesus concerning the Spirit of Truth? Why then, when I came unto you, did you turn aside from me?" Here is yet another prophecy. Christ is speaking to us. Listen.
John chapter 16, verse 14. "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you."
Baha'u'llah did just that. He took the pure teachings of Christ, and he showed the world their wonderful meaning and their application for today. Baha'u'llah glorified the greatness of Christ.
Did you know that in one book alone, a book called The Promulgation of Universal Peace, which records the talks which Abdu'l-Bahá, the son of Baha'u'llah, gave in America, there are over 100 references to His Holiness Christ.
In one book, all glorifying Jesus. But let's hear Baha'u'llah's own words. This is but one paragraph from the pen of Baha'u'llah about the beauty of His Holiness, Jesus the Christ. I'm quoting Baha'u'llah's words now. "We testify that when He, Jesus Christ, came into the world, He shed the splendor of His glory upon all created things. Through Him the leper recovered from the leprosy of perversity and ignorance. Through Him, Christ, the unchaste and the wayward were healed. Through His power, born of Almighty God, the eyes of the blind were opened, and the soul of the sinner sanctified. He, Christ, it is who purified the world. Blessed is the man who, with a face beaming with light, hath